Good morning. Well, is it afternoon yet? Yes, afternoon. Good afternoon. I ran downstairs. I'm not trying to brag or nothing, but I ran downstairs while they were trying to get together and decided I was going to go take a swim. I went and did a few laps, try to keep my cardio going and stuff like I'm supposed to and stay fit and healthy as God has instructed me to. So I want us to go back to Psalms. It's a new title today. We're starting with a new title. We're not going to next. We're not continuing on next level for now. Or maybe it can be part of it, Ruth, but it's going to be a different subtitle. The title of today's message is Give With Your Heart. Now, I know people are going to think that's about money. Absolutely not. If you're not a giver, you're not a giver anyway. So nobody's going to change you. But God has been dealing with me with the do all things as unto the Lord. And giving is not just offering and tithes time. Giving is really the stuff you do when you're not in church. That's the real giving. And that's what Daddy's been dealing with me about, the real giving. What is giving? What does giving mean to us? And I've come to a realization about church folk that can be a little distressing. Church folk, if you get used to learning about giving and tithing, and it's been beat into you or whatever the case may be, it can become routine. It can become habitual. It can lose all its love and meaning. A lot of people that I know who are tithers that I've talk to up close, they see tithing, even if they don't acknowledge it out loud, as extortion, that they're paying God off to keep, you know, Bruno and the boys from coming in, turning over the tables and beating up their business and not, you know, killing their family. It's like, this is the way I'm keeping repercussion off of me. And it no longer becomes the labor of love or the thing that you do out of reverence to God. And God said something to me this week that really kind of shook me up a bit. He said, you know, talking about myself now, you know, I always tell on myself. God said, you know, sometimes you can give money freer than you can give yourself. You can give somebody a financial gift and send them on their way and not have to deal with it. But there's a part that your heart needs to give that you're not willing to give. I know there's people also who will give support to somebody. Yeah, I was there to help them out of the gratification they get for helping somebody, but not even really sitting before God and finding out what that person really needs that can save their life. Sometimes it's not money. Sometimes it's the position or the story that God is playing out in this person's life. Now, I'm going to give you a real life example. I remember one time somebody was in a financial need. And God told me, I might not remember the number exactly, but he said, give them, was it $5 and say 29 cents? Let's say that's what it was. I said, $5.29, what's that going to do? I'm going to give them $50. I'm going to give them, and God said, give them $5.29. I'm not going to look like a fool giving somebody that, you know. See, and what I realized, my pride kicked in now. Oh, come on, we can have this conversation. I'm not going to look $5.29. How is that helping? And, you know, and so right away, my pride and my ego was kicking in because I didn't want to give that little bit of chop change because it'll make me look cheap. And God said it one more time, very clear. Give $5.29, no more, no less. So I got the $5, and then I'm digging around in my pocket for change. That was back in the day when we actually carried change and pocket money in your pocket. And I dug around, and I actually came up and said, listen, I can't argue with the Lord. He told me to give you this. See, my pride wasn't satisfied with that, but obedience supersedes all other things. And I gave them the $5.29, and they begin to you need to mute these other lines that you have open. And one more. And I gave the $5.29, and the person just began to weep. Weep. Because it was a verse of scripture that they were standing on. And they were asking God to confirm it. And the 529 spoke, come on now, spoke exactly to what they needed at that moment. It, to them, it was confirmation. So me and disobedience would have missed what God was speaking. So that's why I said sometimes it's easy to give your money than to give your heart, to give your attention to God. That's the most important thing. So God began to deal with me about how we give. And he said, I want you to give with your heart. And then I understand not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, but it's always used in money. But today, we're going to deal with it from the perspective of the heart. And I want us to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I want to talk about a scripture that we've probably read a million times in our life. But today, we're going to look at it from a different place. Amen? So I'm saying amen. I know y'all can hear me. Y'all can't say it back, but it's so good. So I'm going to start at verse 6. Remember this, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously shall also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your own heart, not reluctantly or of under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, taking it out the money realm, using the story I just gave, the opportunity to give, don't do it sparingly, do it generously. You should give what you have decided in your own heart. I saw this from this perspective of how we give to others. I've talked to husbands, I've talked to wives, I've talked to situations. Husbands and wives, I cook his food, I wash his clothes. Husband, look, I pay your bills, and it's no heart. There's no spirit in it. It's duty now. It's under compulsion. You haven't decided of your own heart and your own will to give that. You are now following the rule that was laid before you, and now you're sticking to it. And so now you start to see the relationship sour, and I've seen this a million times. And all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, there's no heart anymore. It's duty. I've talked to parents who raise their kids, like I put clothes in their back and that whole tone. And once they start speaking, you hear, you feel imprisoned to do this thing, but it's no longer of your own heart and your own will. And he's saying, do it generously, but you should give what you have decided in your heart. I would rather you say to me, I'm only going to do this because my heart bears witness with it, than to do a bunch of things for me that you are no longer committed to. This is what God is saying to you in your service to him. I don't want you coming to church because that's what you're supposed to do. I don't want you paying your tithes because you feel obligated to do so. I don't want you having prayer time 6 o'clock every day in the morning because that's the routine you've created, but your heart is no longer connected or committed to it. You're no longer coming to me and giving me that offering of real praise. What you're doing is you're giving me something of grudging necessity. You're giving me something because you feel it's a duty and it's works and God can't honor it. And I begin to look at the areas of my life that God has blessed me tremendously and the areas where it still seems stagnant. And God said to me, because in those areas, you're doing your job. You're no longer loving me. You give with your heart. You give to God with your heart. We're not even talking about people right now. I gave a couple of people examples to kind of get you understanding. This is about a relationship between God and you. God created you for fellowship. Fellowship is not duty. What you do on the job you hate is not you giving of the joy of your heart. Is what you're doing because you don't want to get fired and you want to get your check. A relationship like that with God breaks covenant. Yeah, I knew I was going to kind of make a couple of people think that, you know, I can't see you, I can feel it in the spirit. It breaks covenant because you're no longer having a covenant relationship with God. Just like if that's the relationship you're having with your spouse, you're no longer in a covenant relationship. You're now in a relationship of duty and works, and God doesn't receive those. And I begin to think about Cain and Abel's offering. What was wrong? Because the scripture didn't break it down. And I've heard pastors come up with all kinds of things. What was wrong with Cain's offering? And why was Abel's offering accepted? What was good about it? Well, it just said because he gave from the ground. And then I thought about it. Works. He did the work. He did the labor. But God judges the thoughts and intents of the heart. And God saw that his heart was lacking. So let's read on. I'm going back. So, wait a minute. There we go. So let's go back to 7. Each of you should give what you have purposed in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And the Amplifier said, whose heart is in his giving. And watch this. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need will abound to every good work as it is written. I'm going to begin to take some of these words apart now in the Greek and try to help us get a better understanding of compulsion and what God is talking about. But I want you to see how this ends, because God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need. Let me just read that again. So God is able to bless you abundantly. Somebody say abundantly. So that in all things, say all things, at all times, say all times, having all that you need, say all that I need. I'm talking about a God who is trying to get to you all things at all times, in all situations, so that you have all that you need. This doesn't sound to me like a God that wants you to struggle and suffer and go through things. This is a God saying, I want to provide for you, and I want to provide for you abundantly, but your provision or your giving to me is not any longer from a heart. So because it's no longer for a heart, I cannot give you all the things you need and all the things that you need to have and all the things that you lack nothing, because you're not giving me something that I can reciprocate on. In other words, God don't need your stuff. Let me see if I can explain that a little better, Holy Spirit. You have heard me say this a million times, but I need to take it somewhere else. God is never impressed with your gift. He's never impressed with your stuff. He's never moved by it. Why not? Because he can't use it. I don't care if you give $10 or $50,000 or $100 million in an offering. God can't use it. So when the church keeps pushing, so if we can do the work of the Lord, yeah, that's a wrong push. Because God doesn't need you to do his work. He's not stuck. I got 50,000 more. I haven't bowed their knee to Baal. I got others, a million, a couple of hundred million more that give me from a pure heart. I don't need your stink stuff. God is working us into a place of discipline in our heart. And when he asks us to give, he asks us to give from a place of the right spirit, because the spirit is what he then regenerates, not your money. God is love. God feeds and lives on love. God created us to love. So what God wants to do with us is to have us continually sowing deposits, an overflow of love, because that's how he blesses. When God blesses you, he's not blessing you with money. You see the money, but it's not the money. It's the love that's motivating the financial gift, the gift of healing and health, the gift of his grace and mercy. That's all motivated by the love of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It wasn't out of pity, and it wasn't out of financial need. It was out of need for him to continue to be established and show you his love. So when God comes to you for a replenishing or refilling, he wants your love, not your stuff. He doesn't want your works. He doesn't want your structure. He wants your heart. Can somebody say amen just once to that? God wants your heart. He wants your love. He created you for fellowship. He created you for love. He created you to be in love with you. That's what God made you for. So when I say give with your whole heart, I'm saying God is saying give to me whatever you give me from the heart of love so I can be filled and replenished and my joy can be filled. And then I can pour you out a blessing that you don't have room to receive. But don't bring me an offering of works because I cannot bless you in the area of works. I bless from the heart of love. Everything God does is love. God is love. Oh, Jesus, help me. I thank you so much, Lord, for this word today. As God began to speak to me, he said, son, you're a giver. You're absolutely a giver. But I need you to give the way I give. And the giving that you do right now has become habitual, and I don't want you to continue functioning like that. And I was really a little thrown off by it because I thought, honestly speaking, I'm a generous giver, God. I mean, you know how we do. And God said to me, but it's gotten stale. Remember when he came down from Gilbert's church in Revelation, he said, you lost your first love. He said, it's gotten stale. He said, I know you mean well, but I'm not going by what you mean. I'm judging the intent of your heart. And some of the seeds you're giving me is not sitting right or reproducing the way it should because it's not given with the anointing and the attitude of love. I hope this is speaking to somebody. If it is, y'all can put your little thumbs up icon or wave a hand if you're on the screen and let me know that you're with me. Amen. So watch this. The word in verse 7, every man should give as he has purposed in his own heart. So let him give not grudgingly. So the word, it says under compulsion there, but grudgingly. And here's the definition of the word. And I want you to see this. Listen. The word is lupe, is the way it would be pronounced. Lupe. And it is of sorrow, of grief, of annoyance, or of affliction, or of personal mourning. God said, don't give me what you give. Well, I really got to pay the bill. But, well, I really don't want to be bothered with this person, but... Well, I really don't want to go here and do this for the Lord, but he said, I don't want your annoyance. I don't want your sorrow. I don't want your grief. I don't want your pain. I want your affliction. I don't want you to do this out because you're inflicted to do so. Can we be honest today and acknowledge that we do a lot? There's people get up and come to church on Sunday morning. They go, I'm not supposed to go to church. I don't go any other day. I really just don't even want to go, but I'm going to get up and go because, it's the least I can do. How do you think that feels to the heart of God? How do you think that sounds to the ears of God? Who does everything he does for you out of the abundance of love? God is not obligated to take care of you. He loves you, so he takes care of you. And I was praying that God would teach me to love him. I got to be calm here. I don't want to get emotional. To love him more. To love him more. I said, I want to love you more. And in my mind, I thought that meant I should feel more in my prayer time. Maybe spend more prayer time. I'm looking at the thing. Okay, it's 15 minutes now. Okay, I'm going for a whole half hour, God. I'm going to give you that whole hour. Look. Almost there, 5 minutes to go, and God's like, just get up. Just get up. Just leave. Just leave. Go do whatever it is you would rather do right now. Don't give me this. He said, if you surrender your heart to me in love, you will be there 2 hours and not even realize you're there. You counting the moments because the love is going stale. You don't adore me. You don't want to sit and stare in my eyes anymore. You've given me what I need to have to pacify me, and I don't need to be pacified. And I said, God, my heart, it hurt my feelings because in my heart, I thought I was really trying to do something good. And I realized I was giving God routine. I was somewhere else. And I said, what am I doing wrong? And he led me to this, giving, it should be given up to you. And right away, my mind went to, but I give. But I realized from what he was saying to me, I need something different from you, son. I need you to love me again the way you used to love me. I need you to return to how you used to be when you couldn't wait to get in my presence. And this is very touching for me. I realized that I was giving God grudging love. I was serving a duty, and being a person married, I know what it's like when a relationship turns into something where you're doing your job, or where you feel like somebody's doing the job with you, but you don't feel like their heart is any longer with you. And that is a feeling I never want to pass on to God. So I pray today that this word reaches you where you are, that you don't treat God like a servant, or like, let's make a deal, or your transaction with God, to stop being barters, but it be a place from a real place of love, commitment to that love. God is love. He feeds on my love. He feeds on your love, not your duties, not the things you do of necessity or grudgingly. I have so much more that I wanted to cover today, but I feel right now that I've said what needs to be said. Return to love. Give with your whole heart. If you're going to pray, pray because that's where the Spirit of God has you, not because you feel guilty and you feel you need to do it. God wants you to return. God is asking us to return to our first love. Father, we thank you today. I thank you for the word. I thank you for the correction. I pray for the house. I pray for the body of Christ. We've gotten caught up in material. We got caught up in selfishness. We got caught up in, I don't like that. I don't want that. I don't want to do that. I'll do it if I have to. Forgive us, Father. Forgive us. Forgive us. And return us to our first love. Let us weep before you. Let us be contrite before you. Let us know that you still love us, and teach us how to love you. We spent so much time learning how to walk in faith. We forgot about the fact that you love us. Return us to love. Return us to love so that we may serve you correctly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.